Let us pray for the reading of Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a gift, a precious gift, an indescribable gift. Let us treat it as such. And as we open our hearts and minds to your word, may your spirit be at ease. As we open our hearts and minds, may it be at ease in our hearts and minds doing whatever it is the Father sent this word to do in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, ye few but faithful. It is nice to see we have better balance in the congregation. We have about half of the congregation on each side, so that's nice. There was a time when the pews were full. It'd be a blessing to see that again. The scripture today is found on page 958 in your pew Bible, Psalm 119, 17 to 32. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. So today's title is Praying for Our Children Systematically. You see, I believe that part of the reason that we are not seeing as many accurate, amazing answers to prayer for our children or grandchildren is because we have not learned to pray from every angle systematically. If you study the prayer of Jesus in John, he was so systematically. It almost looks like a repetition, but it's really important to pray systematically, covering every angle. And we will learn why. I think this passage is a treasure trove, really, of truth and strategies on how to pray for everyone, but especially as we are focusing on for this month and a half that we have left for our children. As we continue to pray for our children and encourage others to do the same, because it's not just us learning this, otherwise you wouldn't be receiving it from me. I am called to do it and to pass it on, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a child of God. So as we continue to pray for our children and encourage others to do the same, today we'll turn to the sections under the Hebrew letters Gimel and Aleph. See, you're learning the Hebrew alphabet along with this. As I worked on this sermon, I wonder how many people who are here, or I know people listen to it online. I told you one time back in Holland when I gave my card to someone to pay for something. They looked at it and they said, oh, I listened to your sermons on the website. I had never met this person. I was really pleased. I thought, okay, Lord, it was something he called us to do. And there are some people who are being reached through the website. And Lewis Gregor is helping us to perfect that website for free. Thanks be to God. I've been working, you know, sharing some pictures with him and other things. And in the middle of his wedding that is coming up, he's making room for that. So as I worked on this sermon and thought about the people who hear this, whether here or online, I wondered how many would think that one or two sermons is enough to cover the topic of praying for our children. Believe me, it's not. One or two sermons is not enough. Learning how to be thorough in prayer and learning how to pray systematically for our children is a lifetime journey. Trust me. And we should be getting better and better. We should be growing in this area because it's our calling to pray for our children, one of the main ones. So learning to pray for your children systematically is not only the responsibility of every Christian parent, but it is also extremely rewarding. It is. I have been amazed at what God has done in response to some of the prayers I have prayed for my children. I don't often share these personal examples from the pulpit because I don't want it to be about me, and I don't want it to be about what God has done for me. But I really believe that this is something God wants me to share so that you are hungry to pray, to learn to pray, and to practice praying for your children systematically. These are true examples of what God has done in response to my prayers. Some of you have already heard a couple of these examples, maybe all of them. I'll just mention a few. My son, a while back, years ago, while he was still at Hope, part of the problem was that he had friends that were a bad influence in his life, and I knew that. So I began to pray. I thought, I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to pray until I see an answer to prayer. And I told him, I said, part of the problem around you is that you have friends that are a bad influence in your life, and I'm going to pray. And I'm praying this, either they move far away out of the state or out of the country, or they become Christians. And he kind of laughed. I said, we'll see what happens. So I began to pray. Within about 3 months, the one that gave him pot for free, because he was really rich, moved to Indonesia. I was like, all right, God, one down. Within about a month after that, the one that was not only doing pot but doing heavier drugs became a Christian. And he said to him, you think your mom could counsel me? I want to learn more about the word. And he was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Within 3 months, maybe after that, the other one moved to California. And then it was like the devil said, oh, yeah, we'll see. One moved in with him, a new one who was a bad influence, moved in as a roommate. He was looking for an extra roommate. I thought, okay, we're going to keep praying. He moved away soon after that, and he was supposed to be there for a year. Then another one, his drummer, who was a part of his band, became a Christian. And he was like, you got to stop that, Mom. I said, oh, no, I'm just getting started. He really began to soften and to fear God, maybe remembering what the fear of God is. And recently, he received a Bible from me again, because I don't know what he had done with his Bible. God answers prayer, my friends. My daughter, Carielle, who went to Michigan State, warned me when she went to college, I'm not going to be an A student anymore. I'm young. I want to have fun. I'm not going to do bad things, but I'm not going to be an A student because I'm not going to devote that much time. I'll make it, but, you know, I just want to have fun. I said, okay, behave. Fine. You know, I'm not, as long as you do some decent grades. So she did. She did some B's and A minuses when she was a straight A student. And so she graduated. And then for the degree that she was looking for, she needed a 3.9, something like that. No university would accept her. And she cried and she said, I made a mistake. I said, we learn from our mistakes. Let me pray. I started praying. She said, Mom, you don't understand. It's the law. No one gets accepted in this field that she's in now as a licensed nutritionist without this. It's national. It's like the state law according to the academic standards. I said, I don't care. I know who controls all that, and it's God. So she said, okay, crying. I began to pray and pray and pray systematically. I used verses of God opening the door. I reminded God of the power of his word and the love of for our children. And she called me one day crying, said, what happened? And she said, Mom, they just called me from GRCC that they're starting a new program that did not exist, but they're opening a program for this field, and they're accepting anybody, almost anybody, that has passed any degree in college in this area, which I have. And they accepted her because it was the first class. So they had not advertised enough, and she got in, and she 4.0'd again. I said, you know who did this, right? She goes, I know, tears rolling down her eyes. One more. When I was in seminary and my son was going through this, it was time for him to go to college. And I said, I would love for you to Hope College. And he laughed and he said, I don't have money. We don't have money to go there. I said, I know, but God does. So he laughed again. And some of my friends knew that I was looking for a scholarship at Hope College. Now, mind you, this kid did not have the average. He had done well, but he did not have the point average to be accepted with a full scholarship. So some of my friends came and said, don't you know anybody from the board? Somebody, you know, that if you know somebody from the board that awards the scholarships, maybe you have a shot. I said, no, but I know somebody above them. I know God. And so I began to pray and pray. And I send a letter to the board. And they send me a letter back saying, tell your son to come. We want to interview him. And they gave him the scholarship, full scholarship, to Hope College. I'm sharing this with you. There are many, many, many more. I'm sharing this with you because I want to make you hungry for this call to pray systematically and specifically for your children. I believe that we think that it's enough to pray general blessings for them. I believe we often only pray general blessings for our children. Think about this for a minute. If you only pray general prayers of blessings for your children, God could easily say to you, there goes the rain, there goes the sunlight, there goes health, there goes, you know, general protection. That's all you're asking for general things. God sends you general things, right? Here goes the light of the sun, the rain, or a good night rest. Those are general blessings. But if you're specific in your prayers and learn to pray systematically for them, if you cover all parts of his life or her life, if you're constant about praying in this way, you will be amazed. You will be amazed. Let's begin looking at this passage then. Verses 17 and 18. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. You pray exactly that. You pray exactly that. Father, be good to my son or daughter. Cause him, cause her to obey your word. Open his or her eyes, Lord, that she or he may see the wonderful things you have hidden in your word. You just use that as a format to be systematically praying for them. Look at all the things that are there. Be good to my son, cause him to obey, open his eyes, that he may see the wonderful things you have hidden in your word. Let's move on to 19 through 21. I'm a stranger on earth. Don't hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. What do you think of that? What do you do with that? Here's what you do. You go through the verse systematically and you pray it for your child. Something like this. Your child may very well be in a bad situation due to his or his own bad choices, and this verse will help you to redirect him. It's not that you don't have the words to do it. It's that God wants to hear you speaking his heart back for his children, for your children, back to him. So you could turn this into, my son or my daughter sometimes seems like a stranger to me and to this earth. He or she doesn't follow the guidelines, Lord. Don't hide your commands from him. Show them what your will is for them to live, how they are to live. You rebuke the arrogant, Lord. Don't rebuke my son, even though they have made bad choices. Those who stray from your commands, Father, you are not pleased with. Do not let my son or my daughter stray from your commands. So you go specifically, you touch each area that the verse is pointing you to. Again, your child may very well be in a bad situation due to his or her own bad choices. So then you pray. Verses 22 through 24. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Think how much deeper you're going. You went from God bless my child to this. This is God's heart for you. To pray for your children. So you begin to pray, God, let my child delight in your commands. Let your wisdom be their counselors, his counselors. And even though rulers speaks of could be bad, you know, influences, even though rulers sit together and slander my son or come against my son, let him continue to be faithful in the midst of it all. Remove from him scorn and contempt. Why do you think God has all these things written, all these different areas? It's not just because God didn't have anything else to do than to just send his servants to write all these extra things about prayer. Psalm 119 is filled with treasures that God wants us to pray for ourselves, for our children, and for other people. Specifically, systematically, remove scorn and contempt. How many of your children do you think could use this prayer right now? That God would remove scorn and contempt from them. How many of them? How many of your children could use this prayer that their statues of God would become their delight? You see, this is more than just saying, God bless my child. God protect my child. This is specific. Let your statues, your law, your rules, your wisdom, become what? Their delight. That's specific, my friend. That's how we pray systematically, more in depth for our children. And then finally, let me just share this with you. God knows that when our children are not walking in the way they should, when they have controlling ways or addictions, that we hurt, that we're disappointed. God expects to hear your pain in prayer. God wants to hear about your disappointment as you pray for your children. Why? Because you're his child and he cares about what you're going through. So always make room for your pain as you intercede for your children. I think verse 25 gives you an opportunity to do that from this passage. I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. This is how at times I have prayed from this verse. Father, my children are laid low, or my child is laid low in the dust because of his or her sin. They're struggling in this area, and I pour out my heart before God. Please preserve their lives, or his life or her life, according to your word. Please, even in the midst, you can pray of their drunkenness or addiction or control or rejecting you, not going to church or just going to church superficially. In the midst of that, Lord, preserve their lives according to your word and help them. Help them, God. Then you continue to intercede for them. 26 through 28 says, I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. So you ask God, help my son or my daughter to be accountable to you. Don't you see the word account? Accounting for our ways. You pray that into your child's life. Help my son or my daughter give account of your ways. Answer my prayer, O God. Teach my children your decrees. Cause them to understand your ways and teach them to meditate on your wonderful deeds. And then look at what it says, my soul is weary with sorrow. And then you pour out your heart again. Lord, I'm afraid that this child will never turn back. I bring my fears to you. Father, I want to be faithful in being honest about how I feel about where my son or my daughter is at. But I want to keep my eyes on you. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. You see how we're going deeper? Do you see the progression? Do you see how much we're moving from the bless my child and protect them? Amen? What is that? That's how pagans pray. You're not a pagan. You're a child of God. Do your work as a parent. I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about that. When you're done with these verses, you move on to the next ones, using the word as your prayer guide for them. 29 through 31, keep me from deceitful ways. And you begin to say, Lord, the ways of the world are deceiving my daughter. You know his or her life. You know what has gotten them into this mess, where their heart is not free to run in the path of his commands. You pray for those things. You know them. Quit ignoring them. Bring them to God. And you say, keep my daughter from these deceitful ways that I clearly see. I'm not going to minimize them. I'm not going to cover them up anymore and just talk about what my daughter is doing good. I'm going to talk about what she needs to do good to you. Be gracious to me, O God. Give me the strength to be honest with you and teach my daughter or my son your laws. Help them, like I have by your grace, to choose the way of faithfulness. And then listen. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. Isn't that one of the things that we really deep down inside need to bring to God? because our faith is not 100% strong. And at times we feel like, are these prayers really doing anything? So we need to pray. Honestly, don't let my prayers be ignored. Don't let me be put to shame, O God. I hold fast to your statutes. I'm hanging on to this. Don't let me be put to shame. Finally, this is the prayer, verse 32, that I have prayed probably at the top five truths that I have prayed systematically for each of my children. And this is the one that God used to inspire me to pray this sermon series. You will see it in the article that I wrote for the two papers. This is the one I use to draw parents to come and find out what it means or how to learn to pray for your children. Verse 32. I run in the path of your commands, and I'm going to give you the Greek, for you have set my heart free. Other versions say, for you have broadened my understanding. It set my heart free, really, the meaning of it. Listen up. If our children are not walking with God, it's because their hearts are in bondage to something. Their hearts are not free. It's our duty as parents to pray that their hearts will be set free from that bondage. It could be drugs, it could be vaping, it could be greed. I want to have as much money, I want to have the bigger house, the bigger plane, the bigger bike, whatever it may be. I don't have time for God. It could be just neglect. It could be anything that is holding their hearts in bondage. You know what it is. You have the privilege of praying that God will set their hearts free from that bondage. If our children are not walking with God, it's because their hearts are in bondage to something. It's our duty as parents to pray that their hearts will be set free, that they may then be able to run in the path of God's commands. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed. I get emotional because this is a prayer that God has heard thousands probably of times from me. I have prayed this specific prayer for each of my children, and I have told God, I don't want to see them walking in the path of your commands. I want to see them running with joy, hands lifted up. I want to see them running with joy in the path of your commands, not just walking, running with intention and joy. I run. It doesn't say I walk. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. That's God's heart for your child. Are you praying that? This passage will help you do that. Let us praise God for what he has taught us today. And let us continue to pray systematically for our children and invite others to do the same. Amen.